You're with Erin on Riverland Life FM, and I'm here with Ben Grieger, who was one of the contestants on Alone Australia this year. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, thanks, Erin. Good to be here.
So, Ben, I've got a few questions. I know a lot of the community were watching you on Alone Australia. It was a fantastic series. First of all, for anyone who hasn't seen Alone Australia, can you just share a little bit about what it was all about?
Yeah, sure thing. So the experience is 10 participants are dropped off out in the wilderness. In this case, it was the Tasmanian wilderness with 10 survival items and just some clothes. And you need to see how long you can last out in the scrub before tapping out or being medically extracted. And the last person standing wins $250,000.
Wow. Amazing. And it did start, I think, in America, didn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
And this is our third season in Australia.
That's right. Yeah, I was on season 3 and they're up to season 12 in the US, I think. Yeah.
Wow. And you were in the wilderness in Tasmania.
Correct. Yeah, the West Coast ranges of Tassie. Pretty wild and wet and woolly place. It was amazing.
And so how long did it take for you to actually get onto Alone Australia? Like, did you apply for more than one season? And I guess there's probably a lot of people who want to go on this show.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, from the very first moment I saw season 3 of the US show, I wanted to be on that show. I wanted to be part of it. And I projected myself into that kind of experience, go, what would I do? How would I do things? I even applied for the US series. My colleague at work, Frosty, submitted an application on my behalf and went through that a little bit, but then didn't get through there. And I applied for the previous two seasons of Alone Australia as well. And this year I got the nod, which was amazing, or last year rather, but for this season.
That would have been so exciting. How did you feel when you got that nod?
It was amazing. I was on the green at Loxton High School, the kind of grassed area outside the offices, and I had a voicemail from this unknown kind of number, and it was someone from the studio saying, yeah, hi Ben, we've got your application and mate, we're interested, so if you give us a call back, we'll talk through details.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's amazing how in those moments you're aware of what is potentially a life-changing moment, and I could feel that right then. So it was pretty exciting. Totally.
That is brilliant. And so what type of preparation did you do once you found out you were going to be on the show and one of the contestants? What kind of preparation did you do?
Well, as much as I could, which wasn't much, being a high school teacher and having a young family at home, it was really tricky. Like, some of the participants, they live and breathe that experience out in the scrub. I mean, Shay probably sleeps under a tarp, you know, 100 days a year, whereas,
wow,
you know, I don't have that. So skills-wise, I'd be practicing different skills, you know, my friction fires at home, I'd do that on the kitchen floor, you know.
Really?
Lauren would be going, what are you doing there? I can smell smoke again. Yeah, if I'm just making a friction fire on the kitchen floor, you know, practicing making different nets or different traps, those sorts of things. But I'd really compartmentalize those things, 20 minutes here, half an hour there. I didn't have that big kind of long experience going out into the wilderness practicing because I just couldn't do that. I mean, less than 48 hours before leaving to Tassie, I was finishing off school reports up to,
what?
You know, 11 o'clock at night or something. So
oh,
I just
goodness.
Couldn't commit wholeheartedly to it. But mentally, I spent a lot of time preparing mentally, and it's ultimately mostly a mental challenge. So trying to really fortify myself mentally, try to remove tapping out as an option from my mind and picture what I would be doing when things got tough, those sorts of things. So I put a fair bit of emotional energy and mental preparation into that side of things.
Yeah, wow. Oh, that's fantastic, Ben. And also, I guess like winters here in the Riverland are fairly cold. Do you feel like that prepared you at all for the coldness of Tasmania?
Somewhat. I mean, we've got the chilly nights and the mornings, and the lows were pretty similar in terms of temperature, but the highs over there were a lot lower. Like, it didn't warm up, but just the cold and the wet and the wind and how relentless it was. I mean, throughout my 40 days out on the land there, we had more rain in those 40 days than we've had probably in the last 300-400 days here in the Riverland.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It was pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been.
You're listening to Riverland Life FM. I'm catching up with Ben Grieger about his time on Alone Australia.
And what was it like that very first day when they dropped you off at your destination?
It was pretty amazing. It was like the start of a grand final in sport, you know, when that first siren goes. There's been months and months, in fact, years of preparation leading up to that moment. And You hear about drop shock, like that moment you're dropped off and the shock that settles in. I'm not sure if it was shock for me, but it gets big on you really quickly, and you're pumped, and all this kind of emotion coursing through you and adrenaline, and it's super exciting and you've got to get busy. But then that wears off, you know, and 24 hours in, you're thinking, sheesh, I'm already hungry. It's only 24 hours in and I'm already starving and I'm cold, and the experience gets big on you because you're going, man, if I'm going to be winning this thing, I've got a couple more months of this. And it's tricky having to navigate those highs and lows emotionally. Like a grand final in sport, you get yourself up for that, and that's a couple hours of intense kind of focus. But this is kind of like a grand final, but it lasts for months, and you've got to learn to ride out those highs and lows, which is tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. You're allowed to take a few essential survival items with you. What were some of your important items that you took?
Yeah, we were allowed to have 10 survival items with us. Top three for me, I'd have to go fishing line and hooks. That was one item, although I didn't catch as much as I'd like. That was really important in terms of gaining calories. That was super important. I'll go my shovel. That helped me to collect the bait, you know, primarily worms, to catch the fish. And I can't go past my multi-tool that was on my hip all the time as well, whether it's, you know, gutting an eel or whether it's carving out some steaks or something like that. That was really important. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. And with the fishing, how many fish did you actually catch while you were there for 40 days?
Yeah, I was there for 40 days and only four in total, two trout and two eel. And they were amazing, like the best things I've ever eaten. But when you're averaging one every 10 days, like that's tough going.
Oh, no. And I know that some of the contestants did eat worms. Did you eat any worms?
No, I thought about it, but they were too valuable for me as bait. I worked pretty hard for my worms. I mean, maybe an hour of worming might get me, I don't know, enough worms for that day, maybe a day and a half. So in terms of the calories that I was expending getting them versus what I would get back for eating them, that equation didn't add up for me, and it made more sense to use them for bait.
You shared a lot about your faith while you were there, and I'm wondering, how do you think your faith affected your time?
Yeah, my faith was absolutely huge for me out there. Like, I don't know what it's like to not have a faith. Like, I was brought up in the faith, and my mum and dad, you know, and brought me up in a Christian household, and I was so thankful for that. But I tell you what, I don't know what I would have done without my faith out there during those lows when I felt so cold and hungry and exhausted and physically weak and depleted and missing home like crazy. But I wasn't completely alone. Like, I felt God there with me, guiding me, leading me. And sometimes I would quote scripture and I would feel this kind of resurgence of energy or warmth within me. And the songs, you know, and the worship songs that I've learned throughout my life, even the hymns that I learned, you know, in church as a kid, like I would find myself singing those songs when I'm there shivering in my shelter at night, and you feel this panic rising up in you as I would sing these words that are written on my heart, this peace would gradually settle over me. And it was amazing. It was really, really special, particularly to be unplugged from the hustle and bustle and busyness of everyday life. Like, we live in a crazy busy society, and being a high school teacher is busy, and being a parent of young kids is busy. But just to be removed from that and just spending time in nature and with God and just feeling his presence and having that peace, it was really, really special. It was beautiful. It really
was. That is so cool. That is so wonderful. And I guess you're removed from all your normal comforts and your loved ones.
Totally.
And you're just out there doing it tough.
Totally. And that was tricky. Like, I'm a real optimist, which is, you know, kind of a strength. But the flip side of that is that I'm sometimes not very good at navigating, you know, negative, in inverted commas, emotions. Like, I would often treat negative emotions as problems to be solved rather than feelings to be felt. And I would try to force my way through these kind of bad feelings when I'm feeling sad or whatever. I'll go, right, well, what can I do about this? I can have a cup of tea with my wife. I can pray. I can listen to some worship music. I can go for a run. I can wrestle with my kids on the trampoline. I can pat the dog. I couldn't do any of those things. And it was probably about day 25, day 26, where this wave of kind of homesickness and sadness just swept over me. And I was also hungry and I was tired. I was getting physically weak and felt like this wave was just about to sweep me off my feet, and I didn't know where it would take me. And I decided to give in to that and to allow myself to feel sad. You know, I'm just going to allow myself to feel sad and to sit in that. And I sat in that for days and days and days. And that was something I'd never done before in my life. And then gradually, so slowly, hope gradually started to emerge, like the first hint of spring after a winter. And it just returned so gradually. But there was beauty in that, to sit in that pain and go, you know what, I'm really sad here, because that's a legitimate response. I am missing home. This is a big experience. I'm starving. You know, I am cold, and it's okay to feel sad. That's okay. I don't need to try to force happiness all the time. And that was a really big lesson for me while I was out there.
Yeah, wow.
We're going to take a short break, and I'll be back very soon with Ben Grieger, who's sharing about his time on Alone Australia. You're listening to Riverland Life FM. I'm Erin, and I've been catching up with Ben Grieger about his time on Alone Australia.
Is there anything that you wish you had taken with you?
Well, I tell you what, I wish I had a warmer sleeping bag from the get-go. Like, not that mine wasn't bad, but as you get skinnier and as your metabolism slows down, I mean, you're starving out there and your body slows down to preserve calories, but it stops producing warmth. So I was just cold all the time you know, day 20, 30 onwards. That was tough having to navigate that. I wasn't used to that at all, but I was pretty happy with my choice of items, really. Yeah, but definitely if I could have been a bit warmer, that would have been good.
Yeah, and do you think the other contestants had warmer sleeping bags?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we caught up for the reunion show, it was great. I was having a good chat with Tom and Shay and with Matt, and I asked that exact question, and I was really happy to hear that those blokes were freezing their belly buttons off as well. All except Matt, actually. He was really happy with his sleeping bag, I got the details of what that one was, but Tom and Shay were both pretty darn cold as well, and I was glad to hear that.
That is good to hear. It makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was amazing, that. That sense of camaraderie that we gained through going through that together, even though we were alone, you know, we knew that others were going through that. So catching up afterwards, we've forged a really, really strong bond, which is really special.
That is really special. Mm. Do you think that you're going to go camping anytime soon?
Yeah, totally. Definitely. I love camping and getting amongst it. And I tell you what, I'd go back out on the land for another experience like this tomorrow. You know, I mean, obviously you need to work it in with family and things, but it was an amazing experience. And I look back on it with fondness, totally.
And I guess that 40 days that you spent out there, it would have become quite a special place for you. Do you think you'll ever take your family out there to show them?
I'd love to. I really would. Definitely. That little patch of land out on the lake there, that is really special. That was my home for 40 days, and I've thought about it a lot since, and I'd love to take my family back there and show them the place where I was dropped off, and, you know, this is where I cut the grass that I used for my mattress. This is where I went fishing. You know, this is where I had my shelter set up opposite the inlet over there. This was quite amazing, actually, and it didn't show up on the TV much, but opposite me, it was amazing. It was like there was this cross that was just made out of kind of the shape of trees, this vertical kind of trunk, and then this horizontal kind of bushy green bit, and it looked clear as day to me, and I would look out and, you know, that would give me some hope when I was feeling a bit flat.
Wow.
But yeah, to be able to show my family all of that would be great. Corrine, she lives down there, and she said, look, like, you're welcome to come down there. I'll sort out a boat and, you know, we'll go do it together. And so that'd be really cool.
That is so cool. And did you feel close to God while you were in this experience?
I did. I really did. Probably after day 20 odd, like, I started to slow down. I had to, you know, my body didn't have a lot left, but I'd finally got some fishing systems in place that were starting to produce some results, which were good, but I forced myself to slow down, and it was great. And as I slowed down and had that time of rest, like, it became more than rest, it was restoration, and I could just feel God kind of just working his magic in me. And it was really, really special. Yeah. And increasingly, I just felt like I had been led, and like this whole experience was just God leading me through it, growing me, helping me. It was amazing. It really was. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
What was the hardest thing about being out there?
Probably a few things were tricky. There was the cold. That was hard. Like some nights I was so cold. I'd just been laying there shivering in my shelter for hours, you know, crazy cold. And then as the experience went on, like, and kidney function reduced, I'd need to go to the toilet 4 or 5 times a night, and any warmth in your sleeping bag would go, and you'd have to stumble outside into the icy cold, and I'd be so cold, I'd be doing push-ups and star jumps in the middle of the night.
Really?
just to keep warm, you know, and then go back into bed and still be shivering, and then 2 hours later you're going to the toilet again. And so the cold was really tough. The hunger was really tough. Like when you're physically starving, you know, I lost, 26 kilos in 40 days, and to be so physically weak and depleted and just standing up and walking 10 meters, you feel like you're about to pass out and collapse. That was hard. And missing home was hard. And it was kind of the intersection of all of those things, kind of like a Venn diagram, but with the three circles. Like you're in that tough spot. You're not just cold. You're not just hungry. You're not just physically weak. You're not just homesick. You're all of those things at once. And that's really hard.
That is really hard. Mm. Definitely.
And sorry, just to build on that, and another hard part was going, like, I really wanted to see it through, go as far as I could. I didn't want to tap out. And in some ways, you know, it almost makes you feel like you're stuck there or you're trapped. Like, I want to see this through, but my body's screaming at me like, you're not safe here. You're not safe. Get yourself out of here. Like, get out of here. You're not safe. And just the amount of emotional energy that it takes to ignore that voice for, I don't know, the best part of a month. It's tricky. And I learned that I couldn't ignore it. I had to acknowledge it, but then almost communicate with that part of myself and go, you know what? Yeah, I hear you, buddy. Like, I hear you. But we've got this other goal, and let's just keep on plugging away. Because I knew that if I was to tap out, for me personally, I would have found that really hard to kind of reconcile. Like, I'm really competitive and what ifs and things. So a goal of mine was to win. That was my plan A. But if not, and then to be dragged out of there after doing everything that I could to get the win. Yeah.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But that made it hard.
It would have. And you do see that struggle when you're watching on the TV.
After this short break, we're going to hear more from Ben about his time on Alone Australia. So stick with us on Riverland Life FM. You're with Aaron on Riverland Life FM, and I've been catching up with Ben Greger about his time on Alone Australia.
How did you feel when they said we're going to have to take you out for medical reasons?
It was a real mix of emotions. I mean, I felt that was coming. Like, I know my body. Like, I knew that I was pretty far gone at that point. But it was a real mix of emotions. Like, there was some real disappointment. Like, I was going there to win. I wasn't going there to just have this experience. I wanted to win and go as far as I could. There was some relief there, like from a physical point of view, that my body could start healing again. There was some excitement and hope and joy to be seeing my family again soon as well. There was a sense of achievement. Even though I didn't win, I allowed myself to feel proud of myself, knowing that I'd kind of fulfilled this contract that I'd made to myself to go as far as I could. And it was hard. So I did allow myself to feel proud of myself, which I don't often do. So it was this mixture of emotions all at the same time. And it was a lot. And when they first said that to me, when Doc first said, you know, it's not safe for you to continue, I just sat there in silence for a fair while, and then I was kind of like, oh man, all these cameras are on me, I better say something, you know. And I remember just repeating, like, it's good, you know, it's good, it's beautiful. And that's what my words were. And that wasn't about that moment. That was me zooming out and talking about the whole experience, and indeed my whole life. Like, you know, life, it is beautiful. It is amazing. The highs and lows of life. It's a privilege to be a human, and there's beauty in the pain and the suffering. Yes, it's hard, but there's also hope, and that's life. And when we've got God with us as well, guiding us, leading us, helping us throughout this and being able to grow closer to him, like it was good and it was a beautiful experience.
That is awesome. Well, what was the easiest thing about being out there?
There wasn't a whole lot that was easy, to be honest.
I was asking that question.
It was pretty darn tooting hard. It was amazing. The landscape there was beautiful. It was rugged and it was harsh. Yeah, and that was enjoyable in the time by yourself. Like, yes, it was hard and that was tricky, but that was really nice. And the peace as well. Lighting fires was easier than I thought it would be. Like, and in terms of gathering my tinder and lighting them, it was hard to keep them going because everything was so wet. But no, there wasn't a lot easy though.
No, I bet not. I bet there wasn't.
No, but I guess that makes it fulfilling as well. Who was it that said that challenges are what make life interesting, fulfilling them is what makes life meaningful? Someone said that. I've got it on my wall at school.
That is cool.
It was kind of one of those kind of experiences. Yeah,
definitely. What was it like when you came back to your family and the community?
Coming back and seeing my family again, like at the airport, that was one of the most special moments of my life, because I was thinking about that moment so often out on the land. Like it kept me going. Like I was imagining that reunion and seeing them. And so to be able to see them when I first set eyes on them walking up the ramp at the Adelaide airport there, and seeing my kids jumping up and down with excitement, and seeing Lauren wiping tears from her eyes and then coming and hugging and embracing. It was so special. And being out on the land, it allows you to, for that extended period of time, to just zoom out on your life and gives you so much clarity. And I just went out from there going, yes, family is so important. Like, I love my family and I just want to love them to bits and be the best dad and husband I can be. So that was amazing. And then, of course, the pace of normal life sweeps you up again, and you need to keep reminding yourself, you know, by day and by decade, to keep being intentional about, you know, loving each other and investing in quality time together. But that was really special. And yeah, the same goes with the community. It's been really special being plugged into a small community like this to be able to share the experience with others. Some of the other participants have a very small social kind of relational world, which is great. That's them, but that's not us here in Loxton, you know. No. As part of the high school and part of St. Peter's Church and part of the footy club and, you know, big group of friends, you know, we're really plugged in. And so it was really special to be able to share that experience with the community as I was allowed to, as the media releases happened and as the show went to air. But initially, it was hard, you know, plugging back into normal life. And I've had this crazy experience, but I can't really talk about it. Just socially, you know, it's a little bit overwhelming after being by yourself for so long. Getting back on board with kind of school and just normal life, it was tricky, but it was good.
And also, I guess, people saying, Ben, I haven't seen you for a while.
I know. Yeah. That was tricky to navigate, you know. Yeah.
And I guess even Lauren, she probably had people say, hey, where's Ben?
Yeah. It was hard for her. It really was. And, you know, it was, yes, I've got some long service leave. Like, we didn't want to tell Porky Pies, but it was, yeah, I've got some long service leave and, yeah, I'm just having some time away, which is true. But obviously people care, and a few people were quite concerned about us and wondering whether we're going okay in our marriage and all those sorts of things. And,
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And it was tough for Lauren on the home front with the kids as well. It was like there were two survival challenges going on at the same time. There's me out on the land and there's Lauren at home with the kids, and it was tough for her, and she did a great job, and it was really special to be able to reunite when I got back.
Absolutely. And I bet, well, she didn't know how long you were going to be out there either.
No, that's right.
Could have been 100 days.
That's right. It was tough, the unknowns.
Unknown. Yeah.
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 You're listening to Riverland Life FM. I'm Erin, and I'm catching up with Ben Grieger about his time on Alone Australia.
What was it like seeing yourself on TV and also knowing that the whole community is watching, pretty much?
Yeah. It is a bit surreal watching yourself. And of course, I don't know what footage is going to air and what's not going to air. Like, we take so much footage out there as well, and what's going to come on. So there's always that anticipation, and then there's the watching it, and then there's the unpacking it, and there's the discussing it. Yeah, so it was good. But tell you what, it was really quite emotionally draining in a way. Like, you've got to, it requires a lot from you emotionally. It's been a really busy period. So it was amazing, totally. Took a bit out of me, to be honest, the whole process.
Yeah, especially like being in the high school where you're seeing people each day and, you know, they're watching.
Yeah, that's right. And it's good. Like, it is good. And I love having chats with everyone. I really do. Like, it's great to be able to share it with people. But it is quite taxing as well, definitely. It was funny. My son, Josh, you know, when we're watching it, there's a shot of me and my jocks there looking at all the kids. Dad, Jenny can see you. And Jenny, you know, she's our tenant, you know, in our cottage. And he's like, everyone can see you and your jocks, Dad. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, that is cute.
Mm.
What is something that you learnt out there?
Yeah, sheesh, I learned so much while I was out there. In fact, I've spent over 50,000 words journaling about my experience out there, just trying to record all these learnings, you know, and unpack them. I learned a lot, but the importance of slowing down, that was massive for me. I mean, a motto that I kind of arrived at was to live slow and love big, you know. It's so important to rest and slow down and give your mind a chance to just settle, you know, and it's amazing the clarity that comes with this. I mean, the revelations that started coming for me after day 20 odd when I did start slowing down, they were amazing. They were life-changing. So I learned a lot from that, definitely. I mean, to put it in context, I think it was day 35. I was making a bow drill kit to make friction fire. And as I was making this, I started going, you know what, I'm going to make this kit as a present for my dad. And then as I was doing that, I started humming this song. And it was a song that I'd written for my dad 20 years ago when I was 18.
Wow.
And I hadn't really even thought about that song in 20 years. And this song, I'd only ever written the first verse. I couldn't think of a chorus. But then just being out on the land there, just whittling, my thoughts were just settled and I didn't set out intending to do this, but I wrote the rest of the song. This chorus came to me and this other verse, and I'm just there just singing this song because that was there inside of me all this time, but perhaps I'd never slowed down enough to let these thoughts settle. And it was like that.
That's incredible.
With a lot of different things in my life, just the clarity that it gives you. Yeah.
And did you sing that song to your dad?
I did, yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting, in the Bible we see Jesus going off on his own to spend time with God and just be quiet, and you got to spend that time alone.
Totally, yeah. It says so often in Scripture that, you know, Jesus retreated to a quiet place, and it was always in nature, you know, often the mountain, and like the olive garden, that sorts of things. I tell you what, if he's the Son of God and he needs to do it, you know.
Definitely.
And he's got this crazy mission to save planet Earth, but he prioritizes taking time out, I guess, to be restored. And I learned the importance of that out there, definitely.
That is fantastic. That's a message for all of us, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic, Ben. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing some of your experience. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, no probs at all. No, it was an amazing experience, and it's great to be able to share it with others. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, all the best, and happy camping whenever you get to go with your family.
Thanks, Erin. I appreciate it. God bless.
God bless you too.
You can follow all of Ben's journey on Alone Australia by streaming the entire season on SBS On Demand now. Thanks for listening to Riverland Life FM.